Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Two Guys Soccer Podcast. I'm bringing us in today. We're just going to give Mike a couple minutes to catch up and get on. But before we begin, as always, we're brought to you by the good people over at Harp and Fiddle, 4844 Cordell Avenue. Great place to go and grab a quick bite, have a great happy hour. Also a great place to watch live sports and music. They have a huge projection screen in the back, especially if you are a Manchester United supporter. It is a great place to catch up with fellow fans and enjoy the game. And chances are, if you go, you'll see Mike over there definitely watching the good old the Manchester United squad, especially with their recent run of form, and they're having a good time. So, yeah, we've had a couple of weeks off due to various things with the schedule. And, you know, I'm coming off of spring break right now, which has been they seem to go by quicker and quicker every year. I'm sure that's just a product of getting older and older, and your gauge for how long something takes seems to change quite frequently. But hopefully the weather in the DMV area will finally start to feel like spring, because we're still hitting down in the 30s for the last couple of days, and we will this evening and probably tomorrow. So looking forward to getting that 65, 75 degree weather for a little bit before the Mid-Atlantic summer of heat and humidity and 90 degree days kick in. So, well, since I'm here alone currently, I'm going to jump on to talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart, which you all know, and that is the Arsenal. The Arsenal has had a quiet season, but they've been quietly stepping their way up the ladder, up the ladder, up the ladder, and now Arsenal is sitting in third place, which even from my own estimates, I am completely shocked that they would be in third place at this point in the season. Very excited for it, though. Today was a very big day due to some struggles from teams that were higher than them in the table. And to see them pull off a good win today propels them to third place. Now, they're also, they have won four of their last five games, and they have one draw, so they're unbeaten in their last five. So they have 13 out of the last 15 possible points, which has now put them in the point where they don't need to depend on Europa League to hopefully qualify for Champions League next year. And
yeah, you still need to depend on Europa League. All right, I apologize distinctly because for whatever connection reasons, I was having trouble. So, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So let's start this off like it should have been started off originally. It is Two Guys. It is the soccer show. We are on. We are bigger. We are badder. And we are officially this week 50% uglier than ever before.
I shaved this morning.
I didn't. I'm still that much ugly. It is April Fool's Day, and the jokes abound. So we're going to go over the following things that happened April Fool's Day. Tom Brady retired on Twitter. HelloFresh announced a unicorn box. The Carabao Cup said they are going to put camera phones up on flags for next season. Watford announced an Argyle kit. Former Blackpool manager Ian Holloway has been introduced as the Worcester Warriors kicking coach, and has announced that they will be wearing double shirt numbers from the beginning of the season. Possibly my favorite. New Zealand Rugby announced Jason Momoa and The Rock are joining the All Blacks rugby team.
Yeah.
And
they'd be small on that team. You see the size of those boys on that team, man?
In the spirit of April Fool's Day, give me your best sports gag of recent memory.
Well, in my normally April Fool's seems to fall on a day when I have to get ready to go back to work, so I tend not to pay attention to it as closely. But actually, did you see what happened with Orlando City today?
No.
Okay, Orlando City, this was fantastic. They put out a video, and they're already getting their rivalry with Inter Miami FC started. And so they went to their proposed ground that's coming up, their temporary ground, and until they find a place for their own in South Florida. I know they're trying to build their own stadium. And they put out a video, and it says, breaking news, three players have vanished after traveling to Lockhart Stadium to scrimmage Inter Miami FC, leaving only their footage behind. And they have a video of basically Blair Witch Project style found footage documentary of the wreckage that is what's going to be their stadium. And the players are there, and they're looking around, and they're acting like they're all afraid. It is really, really funny. It's really funny. I'm going to tweet it out later. I love this. This is great. I think this is fantastic. You are getting media out there onto a new club. It's going to be a great thing for Orlando to have an in-state rivalry game. They can get their own kind of Florida derby going on. But the video is pretty funny, and it's pretty good. So throw some props to Orlando City. But I'm also going to throw a little bit of shade at Fulham because their fans didn't appreciate their April Fool's prank, because they said, apparently, you guys have been doing April Fool's all season with their run of form. So pretty funny, though. Yeah, it's good stuff today.
About 10 years ago, the Philadelphia Phillies played a prank on Kyle Kendrick. Everybody in the locker room was available, ready for it. Kyle Kendrick was a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. And they came in and they convinced him during an interview that he had been traded to Japan.
A great story. I remember that.
It is freaking hilarious. Now, you got to understand what makes it great is a Major League Baseball player can't be traded to a foreign country. But
mm-hmm.
they had him so convinced he had been traded to Japan. That was epic. Now, my favorite soccer-related prank is Ali Dia. You know who Ali Dia is?
Yeah, I know who Ali Dia is. You got
this
everybody.
Is a story
if
that
you don't know who Ali Dia is,
make up.
You need to just
you cannot,
sit. Yes, our five listeners,
Google
sit back
Dia.
And listen to this story. Our five listeners,
you need
listen to this story.
Listen to the story and Google Ali Dia. A-L-I-D-I-A, Ali
yep.
Dia. In 1996, this dude convinced Graham Souness of Sunderland that he was the cousin of George Webb. He has his buddy call Graham Souness up and say that this guy was George Weah's cousin, and he had played games for PSG,
mm-hmm.
and he was this awesome player. And so,
yep. even was an international
Sunderland,
player.
Yep, Sunderland signs him to a contract. He's never played professional soccer in his life. He actually gets on. In a match on November 23rd and plays against Leeds. Comes in the 32nd minute for an injured Matt Letizia. He was so awful. Matt Letizia says it was like Bambi running around on ice. Wearing the number 33 against Leeds. He runs around until the 85th minute, at which point, as a substitute, he substituted off. And they terminate his contract.
Mm-hmm.
This dude literally fished his way into a professional appearance with Sunderland. in division.
Southampton.
Ali Dia is my prank of the whatever century.
Yeah.
Like the fake football player.
You can't get better than that, though. You really can't.
No,
like, how are you going to top that?
You can't. Like, all the April Fools, and yes, that's November. It's not April, but I dig it.
Yeah.
That is the greatest soccer prank ever.
Absolutely. But that's farther than the guy who was he was kind of a performer, comic, and he used to dress up and go to basketball games.
The French guy who got on to celebrate the French Cup with President of France.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's one guy he was warming up with the team during the All-Star game or something until he took two layups before they realized that he wasn't a player and pushed him off the court. I forgot his name, but that's another one. That's a pretty good one.
So that ranks right up there with Hello's Fresh Unicorn Box and possibly one of my favorite ones. About 3 years ago, there was a fashion company that put out a selfie shoe. It was a high heel for women, but apparently you could use it as a shoe to take selfies. And it was so popular that they actually had to design it because there were so many requests. It was originally supposed to be a April Fool's joke, but there were so many requests for it. They actually had to design it, the selfie shoe. You can look that up. Good one.
Well, Orlando City also they got some pretty good ones over the years. When their expansion year, they changed their name to the Manatees for the start of the season. They actually had logos printed. They had signs behind the press conference and everything. It was basically, yes, we're going to be rebranded to the Orlando City Manatees. They'll put their hands in it. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of somewhat April Fool's jokes, you hear Harry Kane this weekend talk about how he might like to be a kicker in the NFL when his career is over?
Yeah, I saw that. Man.
In the spirit of this, I put out the question of the day. If you had to have an 11 of players that played in other sports that would play soccer, who would it be?
Oh, wow. Let's see. Well, you know who would be – I started out thinking about this, and I was like, you know what? I got my goalkeeper, definitely. Do you remember a basketball player by the name of Sean Marion? Sean Marion.
I was going with a basketball player, but it was not Sean Marion. No, I remember the Matrix very, very well.
Yes, but that guy was an absolute freak athlete. To be as big as he was at 6'7", the things he could do on the court with the way his body control, I said, that would be a good guy to have standing in between the pipes, staring at you when you're trying to take a PK. I mean, that guy was rabbit quick. He could jump out of the stadium. And I was like, that'd be a great goalie. And he was kind of diesel, too. You know, he was about 220. Yeah, he'd be a good goalkeeper.
You know who my goalkeeper is?
Who?
Dikembe Mutombo.
I was wondering, I was like, it's either going to be Dikembe Mutombo or Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, definitely Dikembe Mutombo. No, no, no.
But, you know, Olajuwon used to play goalie before he grew to 7 feet tall. But he used to play goalie.
Yeah, you want to tell me Dikembe Mutombo didn't used to play soccer at some point in time?
Well, you know, everybody did now the Congo. You know he played at some – you know he was so bad, though, man. He probably had, like, size 42 feet. I fall all over the place. He wasn't very graceful. I loved Dikembe, but he wasn't the most graceful.
Nah, but I'm taking it as my I can see your Hakeem Olajuwon as potential goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I may even concede that and go with Hakeem the Dream as goalkeeper, but my original one was the multiple-time defensive player of the year, Dikembe Mutombo.
I'll tell you this. The easiest place to score on him would have to be through his legs because you can't go left or right on him. His arms are too long. His hands are too big. And the only shots you have is to maybe just put it between his own pipes because, you know, he's going to cover a lot of space by just standing there.
I met him once.
Yeah, I met him once, too.
He was sitting on a bar stool, and he still had me. And I'm 6'3". He still had me by 7 inches.
Yeah.
Sitting down.
Yeah. I met him and shook his hand, and my hand just completely disappeared inside his hand. He couldn't be a nicer guy. You know, he couldn't be a nicer guy.
Nicest guy on the face
nicest
of the planet.
Yeah, nicest guy in the world. But, man, I was like, dang, y'all are big.
You never realize
how big those guys are if you stand next to them.
I'm going to throw a buddy of mine under the bus. Place that I used to work, the museum I used to work in Philly, Dikembe Mutombo was one of the trustees.
Okay.
And I came downstairs one time. We were giving an award to Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
And a buddy of mine was Dikembe Mutombo's handler. And I come downstairs one time, and they were supposed to be doing a round table with Dikembe Mutombo and Layla Ali and a couple other athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And Dikembe Mutombo comes wandering off the elevator, and he's like, do you know where I'm supposed to be? He said, yes, sir, you're supposed to be upstairs, so I take him up there. And I run into my buddy, and I'm like, do you know where Dikembe Mutombo is? And he says, no. I'm looking at him. I'm like, it is a two-story museum. Can you please kindly explain to me how you just lost a 7'2" African in this museum? It's not like he's a freaking packet of peanuts.
No. Plus, he's got that low gravelly voice, man. You can probably hear him breathing around the corner.
Like, can you explain to me how you just lost to Dikembe Mutombo?
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense.
If you
lost
Mark Webb, I might understand, but you just lost to Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah, no.
How many places can he possibly go where you're not going to notice him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible.
So I got Dikembe, you got the Matrix.
Yeah.
Go from there.
All right, so my defense, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do a 3-5-2 or a 4-4-2. So I was, you know, let me just go ahead and do four defenses. So I'm going to start with my left back and my right back. I tend to like my left back and my right back to have just really, really great speed and probably not to be the biggest guys, but I'm gonna go with football here. I got Devin Hester and DeSean Jackson as my left back and my right back. Those guys can just fly up and down the field and make some nice race. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went with football too, but I want more defense. I went with Ed Reed as my right back and Deion Sanders as my left back.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm going to say I went with kind of a, like, 4-1-4-1 for me.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But that's just me.
Yeah. I have a 4-4-2, but I can also switch to a 4-5-1 because I think some of my guys can be moved around a bit. Because I was looking at my center backs, I stuck with football here for my center backs, but I went with Sean Taylor and Brett Favre, and I went with Brett Favre because I was thinking of. Who's going to be the guy that's going to point and tell everybody where to go and what to do? Now, the only problem with my central defense picks is both of these guys love to play. And, you know, when Sean Taylor, God rest his soul, was known to put his head in the mix and really get at people. So I would have the central defense that is going to score some goals for you, but they might leave some holes there too. For the goalkeeper, because they might be pushed up a little far. But I thought, yeah, that might be kind of fun to watch if you want, especially if you have more of an attacking side.
I'm not going to be mad at you. All right. I want a bit different approach.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give you credit. I did not think of Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
In fact, if I had thought of Sean, I might have replaced Neon Deion.
Yeah.
On the left with Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
Because I think he might be a little bit better left back.
Yeah.
Because he's got a little bit of grit. So
true.
Credit for that.
Yeah, and I totally when you said Ed Reed, I was like, ooh, I totally slept on Ed Reed. Absolutely.
No, I love Ed Reed as a left back, but I actually do like Sean Taylor as a left back. I may concede that one. I went with Ben Wallace and Zdeno Chara as my center backs.
So you went. So, yeah, well, yeah, you are Manchester United. Those would be Manchester United. You guys do about 6'7". Absolutely.
Okay. A, they big as all get out.
Yeah.
A little bit mobile, and all they can do is play defense.
Right.
And I also didn't want my whole entire team to be nothing but NFL players.
Yeah. Well, I'll switch it up when I get up there. But, yeah, I like the Ben Wallace pick a lot. Ben Wallace was underrated in his agility. To play low post defense, because, you know, he was listed at, like, what, 6'9"? He was about 6'7", 6'7 and a half. He was not the tallest guy out there. And he could D up anybody on the court. He could D up your point guard and your center on the same in the same offensive series. That's
yeah, but
pick.
He
I
was
like
all defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a little bit more coachable
than
a Dennis Rodman.
Yep.
So that's why I didn't go with Dennis Rodman at that point. But I like Ben Wallace as center back.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And Zdeno Chara, if at 6'5", you can do what he does on skates, I'm pretty sure that you can do it on grass.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so what do you got in your midfield forward?
All right, my midfield. I had to get a midfield general. So I did stick with football on this one. So for my defensive midfielder, of course, our appreciation for N'Golo Kanté has been well documented on this podcast. So I thought of who is that smaller player that plays a big position that everyone respects and that can really control a field. And I went with Drew Brees. You got a guy who's listed at 6 feet, which is definitely not true. But he's a workout freak. He can stay on the field all day. He can cover a lot of ground for a quarterback. But I liked him to be the guy to organize my midfield. So I went with Drew Brees for my defensive midfield. And for my attacking midfielder, I did go back to basketball for my attacking midfielder simply because a friend of mine played against this guy in football in high school, and that is Allen Iverson. Now, Allen Iverson could have played any sport he wanted. Allen Iverson was 10-second 100-meter sprinter, 10 touchdowns in one football game, score 100 points in a basketball game. You know, he could have played anything. And it's funny. And his charity event that he does is a softball game. So it's nothing the guy could not have done. So I went with Allen Iverson for my attacking midfielder over because I was like, let me get some baseball in there. I was looking at Mike Trout because that guy is also a freak athlete. But I was like, I got to pick Iverson.
Oh, look, you can't get me to say – anything bad about the answer.
About the answer.
All right. There's nothing bad that I can say about the answer. I do not have him in my team. So as my defensive midfielder, my holding midfielder, I got Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
What do you want better screening your defense than Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
The general himself. As my sort of number eight, or my numbers, kind of like my number eight distributor type, Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, I can see
so
Ben Simmons.
I went Ray Lewis as my six, Ben Simmons as my eight, and Michael Jordan as my 10.
Okay. See, my 10 is Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah.
That's my 10. Yeah. Yeah, I like Jordan.
I also thought about Wayne Gretzky as a number two.
Yeah, I did too, but I almost thought about Jordan, and the only reason why I was like, I got too many basketball players. I was like, I got to get a hockey player in there.
I was like,
I got to go to veteran.
The only reason I went with Jordan was the size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
I hear that.
So I've
yeah.
got Harden as my number 11 because he's actually naturally left-sided.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe Bryant because he wanted to play soccer
yeah.
as a 7.
Right. Okay.
And then
I
got
Joel
Embiid as a 9.
Right. Okay. I have my 9 is Odell Beckham. Because Odell Beckham was actually, I believe he was in the U.S. camps when he was in high school for soccer. Like, he is a legit soccer player. And my
yeah, but
other.
He'd be more of a 7 to me than a 9.
You don't see him as a 9?
I see him as a 7.
Yeah.
I see him on the right side of midfield putting them kicks in. I see him as Cristiano Ronaldo. I see Joel Embiid would have been the nastiest number 9 ever. And he played soccer growing up.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah. I see that. I just looked at Beckham's – his tenacity is what made me think he could play a 9 role well. But I have my – okay, now I got my one player, my X factor. I went to my – I stayed away from my other sport. I stayed away from mixed martial arts. I stayed away. But I did go to the track. And I don't know where
I did not go there.
Yeah, I grabbed Wade Van Niekerk. And Wade Van Niekerk is a South African sprinter. He has the world record in the 400 meters at 43.03 seconds. He'll probably break 43 seconds, the first man to ever do that. But he's the only runner in history to run sub 44 seconds in the 400, sub 20 seconds in the 200, and sub 10 seconds in the 100. And he did it all, I believe, in 2 calendar years.
Yeah,
so,
but we've seen this experiment with Usain Bolt, and it
yeah,
doesn't
but
work.
I didn't pick Bolt. I didn't pick Bolt because Bolt's not running the 400. And Bolt is also 6'5", and Wade Van Niekerk is shorter than me. So I said, this guy could be – you just put him somewhere and go, just follow the ball because you're not going to get tired. Just follow the ball.
All right, I'll take it.
I had to tell so I was like, man, I gotta get out of America. Who can I grab? So, so I was going through my, because I got into outdoor season is starting up and track, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta find my guy.
All right, I'll take it. This
could you imagine
into the most ridiculous soccer conversation ever? But it's fun.
Could you imagine Joel Embiid really like
number
Campbell?
9?
Just imagine the corner kick, man. They standing there. You got Chris Smalling, who's 6'6", holding him around the waist, going, what am I going to do with this guy, man?
Young Nedved, 6'9", was a load to handle. Could you imagine Joel Embiid as a 10 or 9 in that? Young Nedved was scoring goals just because he was that large.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, remember Lucina Traore at 6'8"?
Yep, uh-huh.
Like, they would bring him on to get just a header. Like, could
right.
you imagine what Joel Embiid would do?
I mean, I would love to kick those corner kicks. I just kick the ball high.
Yeah, because all you got to do is put it up high enough that he could put it up 3 feet high. He can get it.
Real. I mean, you have Jan Koller with 5 inches.
Yes. You have Peter Crouch with 7.
With 7 inches, yep. It's crazy how big these guys are.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah.
That's the thing about my team. I think Ray Lewis is the shortest player on it.
That's for real. You got some monsters on you. I think my tallest player is Sean Marion, and he's in the goal. Because I also was like, let me get a baseball guy on there. And I was like, which baseball guy looks like he could really be a good soccer player? So I went with Jose Altuve from the Astros, mainly because he's 5'6", and you got to have that little guy out there with great ball control. Who's got that low center of gravity? But God, you got monsters on your team.
Put Buddy into submission just by showing up because they're that much taller than you.
It's true, but I know with your team, if they if you can get to the second half, you got a chance to win because your team is going to be dead tired. All that mass moving around.
Nah, don't sleep on them play boys. They can play. They can run.
Yeah, but they don't have no time. You can't call timeout. No oxygen mask for Ray Lewis.
I'm sorry. Ed Reed.
Oh, there you go. All right, though.
Ray Lewis. Yeah. Ray Lewis got a motor for 3 days.
Yeah, but it's.
I'm not afraid of their engine.
It's football, you know. That would be a fun
right.
game to watch.
We have digressed long enough, my man.
That's true. Maybe we should actually start talking about soccer.
About soccer. All
yeah.
right. Once again, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, as always, Flanagan's Hard Fiddle, who helps us stay on the air every week. It was a epic weekend down at the Harp this weekend. Bethesda, Maryland's premier venue for live sports and entertainment for the Man United Watford game. We had the guys from Baltimore come down, and that was epic. Sunday was the Old Firm derby. That was going to be, I'm not going to say my ugly, but that was definitely something I would talk about.
Yeah, okay.
As Celtic beat Rangers 2-1 in the Old Firm derby.
Mm-hmm.
As always, Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, the Montgomery County, Maryland, premier for live sports and entertainment. So let's actually talk about what we need to talk about. We've had enough fun for a half an hour.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was been an interesting 2 weeks. We were off last week for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We had the international break. What did you think about that?
It was what I expected, but it was good to see just – I would say a more complete U.S. team, I'd say. There was a bit more experience with this one, with these two games recently. So, you know, outside of goalkeeper, I mean, there was a player with at least 40 caps at every kind of level for the defense and the midfield and forwards. And they held their own against Chile, which is definitely, I think, is a better side. And, you know, Ecuador was quite complimentary of the U.S. team. So, I'm pleased, but again, I'm not. I know that the coach is still going through the salad bowl and see who he's going to pull out for the final roster. But I think he's getting closer to making his decisions. But hopefully, you're looking at the recent squad. The only really experienced players that were left out were Bobby Wood and Brad Guzan. So. At least from the recent pool of players that have been getting called up since the fall and the summer.
I was not as pleased with the Chile match as I was with the Ecuador match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Ecuador match won nothing to the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Cheeky goal by Tiase Zardes, who's probably inside right now because the coach knows him.
Right.
Chile, I thought we survived that.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
whether McKinney goes out in the Ecuador match, depending on what report you read, it's either a ruptured ankle tendon or sprain. And I searched that up, and I still can't come up with a full diagnosis on that one.
Uh-huh.
Pulisic goes out injured in the first half hour after scoring the goal.
Right.
And afterwards, they looked like they had no idea on offense. But there were a lot of players missing.
By the second game, a lot of players had left camp by the second game.
No, but just like the guys who were – detailed down to the U-23s.
Oh, some of the young, fair. I just thought that, you know, with Chile is they're just a better side. And
they came out with a formation that we weren't prepared for.
No,
because
I mean,
we've never seen
five,
them play
three
at the back.
Yeah, so, But you know, they're just a better squad. And again, I feel like it's I don't want to put too much into it yet. I'm kind of like, let's let him gel a little bit more under the new coach. I mean, you're looking at, yeah, I mean, Michael Bradley, I think he's in line to break Kobe Jones's Caps record, but you know, that's kind of fun to watch, but I don't know. I'm holding my real analysis until we get closer to some of the summer fixtures.
Well, we'll talk about the USA when they come up on the Gold Cup, because that's the last competitive set of matches that they're really going to play.
Right.
Until the World Cup.
Right.
In 2022.
Right.
Now, did you see who was on the U-23 roster?
No. Let me pull it up.
All right. So the U-23s played their first two games of Olympic qualifying. They had a 2-0 loss to Egypt, 0-0 draw against the Netherlands, both over in Spain.
Okay.
Amongst the players who were on the roster, Jonathan Clinton, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Matty Olusunde, who's the Man United defender, Ending Robinson, Derek Jones, Jordy Mihaljevic, Tim Weah, Josh Sargent, Jeremy Ebobise, Haji Wright, and Kenton Parks.
Yeah, that's where the talent was.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Clear to me that they have decided to send everybody who is Olympic eligible outside of Christian Pulisic, down to U-23s, to get these guys tournament experience.
Mm.
There are 8 players out of 23. So my math tells me a third of that team has senior national team appearances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like serious senior national team appearances.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I played in full-on competitive, you know, matches. Yeah.
Yeah, Klinsmann, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Olusunde, Robinson, Mihaljevic, Weah, Sargent, and Ebobise at least have all made their full senior team debut.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get – if we've said that one of the great failures is that this our U-23 team has not qualified for the Olympics in the last couple of cycles.
So no, they haven't qualified since 2008.
Yeah, so we want to get them some tournament experience. So that is why the focus is there. So there's a great concentration of talent there. This could be potentially the most talented U.S. men's national team that we've ever sent to an Olympic qualifier.
For Olympic Games, yeah. To a qualifier, excuse me, yeah.
And I'll be interested to see if they get there, and if they do get there, who drops in?
Yeah, because they can take, what, is it 5? 5 players that are over 23?
No, they can take 3 over 23s.
And, but they get you get another exception too, though, right? I don't know why I thought
no,
I saw
3
that.
Over 23s.
Okay.
It's 3 over 23s. But remember, Christian Pulisic is age eligible.
Right.
Plus, you could insert 3 guys off the senior national team who are over the age of 25 or 23.
Uh-huh.
Into that team. So you can bring, essentially, you can bring Christian Pulisic plus, you can actually bring Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams, plus 3 other players into that team.
You could bring Zach Steffens if you wanted to, you know.
Zach Steffens may actually be straight. How old is Zach Steffens?
He's 23 now.
He may be age eligible.
Yeah, but he turns 24 tomorrow.
Yeah, but it was 8.
But
it was 23
at the start of the tournament. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he might be eligible. Absolutely.
So Zach Steffen, you could bring Zach Steffen and Brad Guzan.
Yeah, that's true. I would leave Brad Guzan out, though.
No, but you could bring Zach Steffen. You could bring Capullos. You could sub them out.
Yeah.
And you still have the ability to bring Michael Bradley.
Dude, they could bring Matt Miazga. He's still 23.
They could bring Miazga.
Yeah.
You could bring John Anthony Brooks if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know,
that's going to be a strong U.S. squad. I know. I had not paid attention to the U-23s at all, mainly because they haven't been competitive recently. So,
But you also think you could bring a Weston McKennie if he's healthy.
Yeah, you could.
Like, this could be not only a team that if they get there, with the talent that they have at the U-23 level, who's age eligible, plus the overage guys, this could be a team that we need to look at potentially next year that could medal.
Well, you know, a lot of the big countries don't even send their players, especially if they're not hosting it. They're not going to send.
The problem is it's an awkward tournament because
it is.
Nobody really has a U-23 team.
No.
And then you've also got to figure in, like, Great Britain, England doesn't send a team.
They don't send anybody, yeah.
So, and the qualification is really, really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Great Britain, because it's Great Britain for Olympic sports, but it's, Scotland, England, Wales for everything else, Northern Ireland, they're when they hosted, they had to put a team together. And it still was mostly English players with five guys from Wales, but they're out of it again. They're like, it just doesn't work with the way their confederations are. So
no, they won't send a team.
But this Olympics, I believe, is in Tokyo.
Yep.
So you're not, I could see Brazil sending a squad because of just from the relations of Japan and Brazil. You know, my stepmom's got family in Brazil. You know, so there's a lot of Japanese and a Brazilian cross pollination going on. You could see. But, I couldn't see Argentina could probably be like, we're going to bow out of this. We're not going to be concerned about it.
Yeah, but there's only one team from CONMEBOL that's going to qualify.
Right. So, what I'm getting at is the teams that would be in there that would really be putting a lot of pressure on the U.S., they may not even be there. So the U.S. has a good shot to medal. But you saw what happened in 94 when Nigeria won. That gave in 96 when Nigeria won. That was a good shot to their national team. It got a lot of their players some big contracts. That's how Nwankwo Kanu got on Arsenal.
Well, Nigeria won the bronze 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they just played a great brand of attacking football. They were the most entertaining team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They're a boatload of fun.
Yeah.
I think this USA team with just that core players I'm speaking about has
mm-hmm.
a legitimate shot to get there.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot more than just the starting 11. I mean, they have like 15 players that they can
bring. They have 23 good players.
But you have a core of like really talented guys that are beyond just simply your top 11. I mean, you're going to have talent on the bench, which I don't think the U.S. is too used to having.
This could be a very, very talented 11, and they're trying to get them tournament experience because that is what we've lacked. So if this U-23s can get in there, I think you see Christian Pulisic in there. I think you see Weston McKennie in there.
Yeah.
I think you see Zach Steffen in there. And I think you see a couple other guys that can help us win.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's something to really keep an eye on over the next year or so.
I think October, November is when the CONCACAF qualifying tournament is. As far as internationals go, was there anything in particular you saw that you liked?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Netherlands Germany game. That one was
that was a great game.
Yeah.
Netherlands unfortunately dropped it 3-2 to Germany on a late Germany winner. Mm-hmm. But that was a great game.
Great game. Great game. And I'm just watching it going, I knew that Arsenal would rue the day that they let Serge Gnabry go back to Germany. And he is proving it time and time again that was not a smart move. He played really, really well in that game. And this was a qualifier. So you have a guy starting for Germany in a Euro qualifier who's still really young. I want to say he's 20?
20, 21.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's 23. He's 23? Well, he was older and younger than that. I guess they sold him a while ago.
Sometimes they sneak up on you.
Yeah. 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 Arsenal sold him 3 years ago. Okay. Yeah. I feel like it was yesterday. I was like, they just had him. So. But yeah, that was a great game. And Netherlands, though, they needed a good game because, you know, they didn't qualify for the last World Cup. And they, you know, they needed to get in there and get a good game in, is what I'm saying.
Now, well, the Netherlands Renaissance is really full on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing fine. They've beat up Belarus 4-0 in their first
mm-hmm.
qualifier before
mm-hmm.
Germany. Now they're in that group with they're in that group with Northern Ireland, Belarus, and Estonia.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
And Germany. Right now, Northern Ireland is actually on top of that group. Because they have 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Belarus and Germany, Netherlands and Germany are on two,
mm-hmm.
or three apiece.
Yeah, Germany's only played one game though, so.
Full credit to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Who I think the U.S. should look to as this is what you can do. Some is greater than the whole of the parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a legit chance to qualify.
Yep.
Netherlands, if they don't make it through the group stages, they have the playoffs benefited from the Nations League.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they have multiple opportunities to get in there.
Yeah. That's going to be that looks like that's pretty much the I guess you call them the group of death for a Euro qualifying. Simply with just those two powerhouses, as close as you can get. There's a couple of others that are definitely have some sleepers in there and some teams that could easily win any game, but that's the only one that's got really two proven World Cups. I mean, Group F looks pretty good with Spain, Sweden, and Romania, and Norway. But Norway hasn't really been a factor at all lately. And you know, Sweden is not the Sweden of the 90s. When they were, that was a strong squad back in like the 94, 98 cups. So, and the 02 cup, that was a good Sweden squad as well. This squad is not emulating those squads. Yes. Can I get my, sorry.
All right. So like England's got their group right now in full control.
Yeah.
They beat Czech Republic and Montenegro.
Yeah, and they whacked
by
them.
An aggregate of 10 goals to one.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Ireland, leading Group D.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow Croatia conspired to lose to Hungary. And they're behind Slovakia and Wales.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the most surprising result.
Yeah.
Outside of Scotland losing to Kazakhstan. Which I don't know how.
I'm speechless. I totally missed that one. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
And they lost bad. I'm just looking at it now. They lost 3-0, and they gave up 2 goals in the first 10 minutes of the game.
I still don't know how that happened.
No red card either.
Lost to explain that one.
Now, the game did take place in Kazakhstan. Maybe there was something in the water. I mean, I don't know how else you can explain that.
No, it must have been something in the water.
Yeah.
You didn't have your haggis that day.
Yeah. You know.
I do know that Andre Robinson and Kieran Tierney were out for that game.
Okay.
Which deprived you of your starting right and left back. They're both left backs professionally, so but some key defenders. But yeah, Kazakhstan had won like 5 internationals total. Scotland with their 6. So that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Well, they got some work to do. They're probably pretty much just done.
Well, Scotland's also got the playoff game because of the Nations League, so they're good.
Right.
So they've got some solidity.
Have they played San Marino yet? That's usually the beat up game. Oh yeah, they already did.
No.
Yeah, they did.
I forget who their win was against, but they picked up a win, so they're a win to be good.
Yeah, they got a win against San Marino. They still have to play Belgium and Russia. So
Belgium and Russia. So in both places.
Yeah.
But just like Northern Ireland still is Germany and the Netherlands at the back end of this qualifier.
Right.
So their last 4 games are Germany and the Netherlands, home and away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they beat up on Estonia and Belarus before they get there.
Right. They can give themselves a little cushion. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's always great to see the provincial side in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I love it when Northern Ireland is out there. Just because I actually, strangely enough, have a Northern Ireland jersey.
Oh, really?
I didn't expect you to have a Northern Ireland jersey. There are very few things that are more fun in my life to wear my Northern Ireland jersey out and see how people react when they see me in it. All right. Before I tell you this story, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Shreddy Easy, Flanagan's Harper Fields, Montgomery County, Maryland's premier venue for live sports and entertainment. Come down there on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have the Premier League matches and Scottish League matches on Friday and Saturday night. We've got live bands. Just a great place to hang out. 4844 Cordell Avenue, Bethesda, Maryland. Once again, Flanagan's Harp and Fiddle, Montgomery County, Maryland's premier venue for live sports and entertainment. So, true story, my man. I have an Albania jersey.
Albania?
Yeah, Larica Cano. Why you don't have an Albania jersey, I don't know.
I don't know. I better get on that.
I have an Albania jersey. So Friday, I decided to go out, and I put my Albania jersey on because who doesn't have? So I roll in. There is a dude. He's got beard, and he must be about 6'50". Definitely a character out of a Bond villain movie.
Of course. Looking like a tall action Bronson.
Yeah, something like that. He's got the beard and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I'm sitting down and at the end of the bar. And I start talking. He's got on jeans and a white t-shirt. And he starts talking to me. Looks at the shirt. Why you support Albania? But he has a really deep accent. Hey, where are you from? Don't worry about that. And he walks off. And so he comes back. And I say to the bartender, I says, where's he from? He says, where do you think he's from? I said, based on his accent, I think he's from Serbia. So he's 100% right.
Mm.
Comes back out. Dude's name is Imanja, and he is from Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, African-American dude, sitting in an Albania jersey, talking to this big old 6'3" Serbian. Yeah, That conversation went all kinds of places.
I bet. I'm sure he
you
had to go collect himself. That's why he walked away. He's like, wait a minute.
This, you cannot make this up. Why do you have on a Serbia jersey? I have a friend who's Serbian. Oh, so you're not actually – why do you have an Albanian? I have a friend who's Albanian, so you're not actually Albanian. Of course I'm not Albanian. I've been over there. I served in Kosovo. I was defending people who I don't know from other people who I don't. Oh, and then we were the best of friends.
Ah, cool.
So he invited me over to his house this summer. Apparently, we're going on a cruise to Montenegro. And he has a house in Montenegro that he would like me to come and visit while we're over there.
That's cool.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, but how often are you going to get a chance to go and hang out, not just go to Montenegro, but hang out with a local at their house that you met at a pub in the United States? That's pretty cool.
Because you had an Albanian jersey on?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm jealous.
It only happens when you're me and you just buy random soccer jerseys because you have friends that support that country.
Yeah. That stuff just happens to you, though, too. It just sort of happens.
Yeah, we're going to file that on weird stuff that only happens to me.
To Mike, yeah. That stuff never happens to me. I'm lucky if
I hung out more. If you hung out more, it would. That's your fault, not mine.
Yeah, there's a little reason why I can't hang out more. Trust me, I
won't. None for you.
Yeah.
Decisions, man. Decisions.
True. But you know what? I may end up in Montenegro one day. I'll just roll up and he might not remember. He's like, hey, you don't remember me? I met you. I'm Mike.
Actually, the way we look, you probably get away with that.
Exactly. I might get away with it.
All right. Let's talk about some club stuff.
Absolutely. Very interesting.
My good for this week, if I had to pick out a good, would have been LAFC. 5 games, 4-1-0. 15 score, 5 allowed. Carlos Vega, Carlos Vela had a hat trick against San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
6 goals in 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say this is, you know who they play on Saturday?
I believe they're playing on Saturday, D.C.? No, Philly.
In D.C.
Yeah, playing
D.C.,
yeah.
We have one in the East. Yeah.
One of my good two was D.C. United because – maybe it was going to be Wayne Rooney, who is having a great start to his campaign this year. So,
what happened with them this weekend?
Oh, they didn't play this weekend.
Yes, they did.
I thought they didn't play. They were off.
They picked up a 2-1 win on the road in Orlando. It was their first win in the last 13 on the road.
That was their first goal they've conceded, I believe.
It may be their team that goal they conceded, but it was also the first win that they picked up in the last 13 on the road.
On the road, yeah. Well, granted, they didn't have any road games at the end of the year last year,
So you have 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to go advantage DC United on this one.
Yeah.
Just how they play at Audi and LAFC having to travel across the country.
Yeah.
I'm going to go advantage DC United.
Yeah, it's hard. It's harder to go east than it is to go west, too.
And Audi is a weird stadium to play in.
It is really weird. It is really weird to play in. Absolutely, it's weird. It's
that pitch, just the grade on the stands.
Yeah,
your shooting background looks like you are shooting into people standing on top of each other.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a tidal wave coming at you. It really does. There's no, you can see the pro.
There's nothing like that anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
like it has to look like you are literally shooting into a veritable wall of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with why DC United has been so successful at home. Yeah. It is a cauldron. The players are right on top of you. The stadium is so compact. Everybody is literally right on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your shooting background is unlike any shooting background that you're going to see anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we talked about this too, how they were going to have some, they're going to play pretty inspired soccer. I mean, they ran out of gas at the end of the season last year, because that was really a special run they went on. But that was really hard to maintain going into that playoff game, and they really just seemed to not have it in the tank. But that was to the way they were at the start of the year, to the way that they finished the season. They had to go off the start of this season. Yeah,
they're hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, when Wayne Rooney has 4-4.
Wayne Rooney has become exactly what we saw. He's going to run this league. He's going to make everybody around him better.
Mm-hmm.
And he has turned Luciano Costa into a player the caliber of which PSG is going to investigate to.
He's going to invest
in
yep.
something
yeah.
prior to last year that never would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, this is an early season potential MLS Cup Finals preview.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if these were the two teams that you saw at the end of the year.
No, I wouldn't.
So,
I wouldn't
yeah,
either.
By the way, if you could get tickets for Saturday and you want to holler at a brother,
well, yeah. I let me see, because I'm not sure. Let me check on my ticket crew, because they might have some. I'll check tomorrow.
I ain't mad at you. I might have the beverages if you got the tickets.
Yeah, all right. We'll be able to do that.
Philly Union managed to somehow go on a 3-game unbeaten streak and creep their way up from the rock bottom of the Eastern Conference up to 4th.
Mm-hmm.
2-1 over Columbus, 3-0 over Cincinnati. And they have somehow creeped their way back into playoffs. That just tells you how volatile MLS is. But the bad to that, Frank DeBoer. Has anybody had a worse last 3 years than this guy has? I want to take you back to this time. 2016.
Mm-hmm.
He's the manager. Frank DeBoer is the manager of Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
They're lining up to play in the Europa League, to which they will make the finals.
Yes.
He'll leave Ajax. He'll go to Inter. He'll spend 85 days as the manager of Inter Milan. He goes 1 win, 2 losses, 2 scored, 5 allowed in the UEFA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's 4-2-5 goals a game. Gets fired 85 days later,
mm-hmm.
on 30 October, after a 1-0 loss to Sampdoria.
Mm-hmm.
Loses 4 of his last 5 in Serie A. That's gets hired, spends 10 weeks in total at Crystal Palace,
yeah.
Until September 11, 2017. 4 losses in a row. 0 scored.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow gets a job at Atlanta United.
And there,
2 games. He's won 2 games in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But
none of them are league games.
None of them are league games.
Mm-hmm.
He's 0-2-2 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Scored 2 goals in the league.
However, and a dead last in the Eastern Conference.
They once beat Herediano 4-0. That is the only game that they have scored more than 2 goals since he was the manager of Ajax.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, he's the only game that earned 2 goals since he was the manager of Ajax.
Wow.
February 28th in the CONCACAF Champions League, he beat Herediano 4-0. That's
right.
The only game that one of his teams has scored more than 2 goals since he was the manager of Ajax.
Defending champion who they did they I don't think they lost too many players, did they? No.
The big one that they lost was Miguel
Almiron. Yeah. Who's playing well. He's playing well for Newcastle. But
he has to do it.
Oh no, I'm good. I'm all right.
You sure?
We're on MLS. Yeah, we're talking about MLS. Let's keep it on MLS. We're good.
I'm worried. I don't know. Atlanta United lost again this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a loss's start.
Yeah, got shut out too, though.
Yeah, they've scored 1 goal in each of their 2 draws. I don't know what to think. Has anybody's managerial credentials collapsed greater than Frank de Boer's?
Not in recent history, no. I mean, he was at Ajax for what, at least 6 full seasons, and you know
after he went to the Europa League
final
again with Ajax, he was being talked about as a future Barcelona manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a guy 4 games since you left Ajax.
Well, you know,
he's won a grand total of 5 games since
you. But do you think is it fair? Is he getting enough time? Is he getting time? Like, you know, he said he didn't get enough time at Inter. Should we give him some time to implement his brand of football?
Actually, I think that he has enough time. With plenty, people have figured out, and not for nothing. Unfortunately, Jose Mourinho did him in.
Hmm.
Because Jose Mourinho, if you watch him in the 2016 Champions League final, his whole entire method, again, kick the ball long downfield, let the team build up, and we'll defend in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll beat them on the counterattack. And everybody has used that tactic since, and they've beaten them.
Right.
I think his biggest problem is the ability, they want to play the total soccer game. But you need to be able to build up and generate chances quicker. And what Atlanta is not doing is generating chances.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you have scored more. His teams have scored more than 2 goals on, I think, maybe 5 occasions since he left Ajax, and all of those were in Italy.
Well, you know, what do you do with a coach like this in this situation? Because, you know, the Atlanta did, they looked really bad against DC. They really did. And, you know, you could chalk it up to championship hangover, or they're just a little out of sorts with a new coach and this is the first game and everything, even though they had a fair amount of practice with the CONCACAF Champions League. But, I mean, what do you do? This is MLS. This isn't, you know, you don't have coaches of, I would say, Frank de Boer's former caliber, because I'm not sure he still has the same caliber, just waiting to come to MLS, even if it is a championship team that's got a lot of support, that's got that had a great season the previous year, who's really building something special in Atlanta. They might just have to ride with him. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Well, actually, to be completely honest, David Moyes still needs the job. Sam Allardyce still needs a job.
Sam is not coming here, man.
Where else is he going to go?
I think big. Not gonna.
Actually, to be honest with you, you want to ask me? You want to put me on the spot? You want to know what to fix this Atlanta United season? Sam Allardyce.
Well, that's true. I mean, if anybody knows how to take what he has and work with it, yeah. I mean, they're gonna have to pay him though.
And if there,
can
if
they
there
pay him?
Anybody?
Can they pay him though? They're gonna
have to pay his reputation more than Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, but he's 65.
What?
I mean,
who are you gonna hire? Brad?
No, I'm not saying this. I'm saying that I'm not sure there's anyone. I'm not sure there's anything they can do right now at this point in the year.
I do believe that you could get if you're Atlanta United and you want to get rid of Frank Ford, if you want to bring in Sam Allardyce, he gets you out of it. And he may actually win you another championship.
He could
fall into it completely.
I mean, if anything else, at least he'll get the instant credibility from the team. Because he has such a long history.
Look at that team, and he's going to say, this is what I need to do to win
games. Yeah, he's going to look at the team. He's going to go, what do I have? All right, you know, get out of the way. Let me cook up something here, and we'll work towards it. But, you know.
Is there any better fireman?
But his tactics might work well in MLS. They might. They might work well.
Is there any better fireman in international soccer?
No, there isn't. I mean, maybe Roberto Martinez from what he was doing at Wigan, but he's had his struggles too. So I just don't think he'd come. I really don't think he'd go to Atlanta. I mean,
how many options does he have right now?
But he doesn't need them. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
He may not need the money, but how bored is he right now?
That's what I was gonna say. If he's bored, then yes, I could see him coming if he's bored. Or if he wants to get the hell out of England for a while, you know, summers in Atlanta are really, really hot. I mean, he may not be ready for that, but he may, you know, he may want to, you know, I could see him just sitting there going, I've coached all over the place.
I bet you if they ask, he takes it.
Yeah, he played for a season or in the United States, but when he was still playing central defender. But yeah, I mean, I could see it. You think if they just ask, he'd come? You know what? All right, then. All right, let's put something on this. All right.
I got beers on it.
I was gonna say, let's put beers on it. If they fire Frank and Sam comes, beers. I got it.
I'll put beers on it.
I don't know.
That's what really matters in this world. I'll put beers on it.
Sure, this is what matters in this world. Beers. Cool. Let's do that. But I poop on that choice. I wouldn't mind seeing Big Sam in MLS. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, it would be great.
Yeah.
Somehow, even on a 90-minute show, we managed to run up on it. So, iteration for this week. Number one, Alfredo Morales, striker for Rangers, picked a red card in the 35th minute of the Old Firm derby, which Rangers lost 2-1. It is 5th red card of the season.
Dag.
Yo, dude is 21 years old. He has managed to pick up more red cards in one season than all but 2 Colombian players who have played in Europe over the course of their careers. Only Mario Yepes and Jason Morello have more red cards in their entire careers than Alfredo Morello has this season.
Jeez.
Yep. 29 goals in 45 games, 5 red cards in 45 games. By the end of this suspension, he will most likely have missed about a quarter of Rangers league game Scottish games this season. epic awfulness from him. Next on the list, Tottenham.
Tottenham
lost
gets
2-1 to Liverpool.
Yeah, Tottenham gets a boo. Tottenham has won 0 of their last 5, and they only have one draw.
They have not won a league game since February 10th.
And they've earned 1 point in their last 5 games.
One point.
1 point.
Well,
so
you know what
you're looking like Nostradamus right now, Mike. You called it. You said Spurs may finish 6th, and the way they're trending, that might happen. You're looking at a team, though. Like the shocking thing to me about Spurs is not necessarily that they have 20 wins. You know, they still are third in wins, but they have 10 losses on the season.
They have to play Manchester City 3 times.
Yes.
In 11 days, in between 9th and 20th. Including this epic turnaround where they have to play at the 17th and the 20th of April, both at the Etihad.
Yeah.
In the league and in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Bye-bye Spurs.
Yeah. I can see them punting Champions League. I really can. They're desperate to stay in front in that top 4. They're desperate to stay ahead of Arsenal. And, like, I could easily see them going, look, we gotta pick. We got to put a wall because they're not going to beat City 2 out of 3 times. It's not going to happen.
Somehow, though, 538 still has them as favorites to make it to third. +1 over Arsenal. Both
their league games aren't as challenging as Arsenal's. I mean, their Bournemouth has really fallen off. They have West Ham, Brighton, Everton, and they still play in Huddersfield and Crystal Palace. So Arsenal still got to play Wolves. They still got to play Watford. They still got to play Everton. They still got to play Leicester.
They still got Leicester. They still got Everton. And they still got Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. All three of those can be potentially tricky games.
Yes.
And all three of them, I would be surprised if they did not collect maximum points in 2 of those 3.
I agree.
I still think Arsenal's best chance of making it to the Champions League would be through the Europa League, but where they are in the Premier League, I'm not sure Unai Emery is going to think the same way I do. So he'll keep playing.
Yeah.
He's got the easiest running. Man, it is all in their hands.
It is. I was going to get at. Like, this is basically setting up beautifully for Manchester United.
Draw with City, beat Chelsea. Top 4 is yours.
Yeah, Chelsea looks terrible. Chelsea should have lost that game. They got so lucky over the weekend. So lucky.
All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left.
We've got 10 minutes, yeah, all right.
So another shout out to Playing and Talk Fiddle. Thank you for sponsoring us today. I love this 90-minute format.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I think we're out, we still have 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Chelsea, I still think, is going to finish City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man United, Tottenham, and Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea's got a tough road ahead of them. Chelsea still has Liverpool, Manchester United, and Leicester, and Watford to play against. So, and they have 2 players who are probably out the door already. I mean, N'Golo Kante says the great N'Golo Kante is gone. I'm sorry. I think he's gone. I think Hazard's gone. They're both going to be on Real Madrid next year.
Here's a dumb question. Which one of the 2 of them do you take? If you could only have 1, which one do you want?
Man. For Real Madrid?
No, I don't care. You have to start a team for everything you own against everything I own. Which one of those 2 are you taking first?
Oh, my God. that's the hardest question anyone's ever asked me.
I think you got to take Eden Hazard. I do.
I think you got to take N'Golo Kanté.
I can
find four other players who do what Eden Hazard does.
I can't. Yeah, you can't find four other players that do what N'Golo Kanté does.
I can't find anybody else who does what N'Golo Kanté does.
Yeah, that's true.
If I had
It depends. If you're going to play him like Sarri does, then you take Eden Hazard. If you play him like...
No, if I'm going to... I'm just saying, right now, I'm going to pick a team with an 11 for everything that you own versus everything that I own. And I have one of those two players to take. I'm taking N'Golo Kanté
first.
Because I can find... a couple of other players off the top of my head, easy, who do what Eden Hazard does.
Hold on a
second. I can't think of many players who do what N'Golo Kanté does.
No, you're right. You do take – you know what else you take N'Golo Kanté? I believe Eden Hazard is 30 years old. Oh, he's 28. Okay. I thought he was answering.
He's 28. He'll be 29 at the end of the season. If the age – is not the factor.
Yeah.
It is how many people do what this player does. And can you can put him in the center of midfield right now. You want to play a 4-3-3? You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play a 4-4-2? You can do it.
Yeah. You can put him in a 3-5-2 easily. Yeah, but he protects center halves so well.
I think Deschamps' decision to play him in the midfield in the World Cup was the difference in between them France winning the World Cup and losing the Euros.
Yeah.
When he took him out against Portugal.
Right.
That was why they lost.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
What he
absolutely.
Enables your advanced players to do, because he covers so much ground in the defensive third, it just makes him be one of the most critical players that you could think of. He's not going to score goals. It's not going to be pretty. What he enables you to do on the pitch, if I had to pick an 11 right now to start for everything I own against everything you own, he's probably either my first or second pick.
Yeah. I think too with N'Golo Kanté that he allows your attacking midfielder to solely play as an attacking midfielder. Like, you don't need a box-to-box midfielder when you have N'Golo Kanté.
You don't need a box-to-box midfielder, and you don't need a separate box-to-box midfielder.
No, you don't.
Defensive midfielder, because you have N'Golo Kanté. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. One-third is covered by N'Golo Kanté.
By N'Golo Kanté, yep. Yep. Which is why the French team was singing songs about N'Golo Kanté during the tournament, which is why when they presented the trophy at Saint-Denis and the entire crowd sang a song to N'Golo Kanté, basically saying, "You are the reason why we won the World Cup. Thank you very much." So,
all right. So, somehow on a 90-minute podcast,
we didn't talk about everything. All right.
And we still didn't talk about it.
Still didn't talk about everything.
But we had fun not doing it.
Absolutely.
We've almost run out of time. So, big shout out to Flying and Soccer Fiddle, to keeping us on the air against it. Big shouts out to producer Paul for staying up late. I know it's way past his bedtime. But he begrudgingly stayed up late so that we could do what we wanted to do. Special thanks. Stead, as we go out with the last couple of minutes that we have, allotted airtime, some things you are looking forward to in the week that comes.
Well, looking forward to the relegation battle in the Premier League, as well as how things shape up in MLS. But I just want to play a quick rendition of Taps for Huddersfield that's already gone out of the Premier League with 6 games left with 14 points, looking at one of the worst Premier League seasons of all time. So I'm going to kind of watch that to make sure they can maybe get to 17 by this season's out. So bye, Huddersfield. Had a good run of 2 seasons. Hopefully you'll be back in a couple of years.
And a silent moment goes out for Huddersfield, the Terriers. We loved you while you were here.
Yes.
You had some really awesome fans.
Yes. And you're going to sell probably 6 to 8 of your players at the end of the season.
Patrick Stewart was one of your fans.
Oh, that's cool.
We loved that Professor X rejoiced when you won games. Sad to see you go. You'll probably be replaced by Leeds.
Probably. Probably.
Enough of that.
Yeah, enough of that.
Manchester United and Wolves. Uncle Nuno. Tomorrow. Gets his 3rd crack at United.
Yeah.
You think they break on through? To the other side.
No.
Break on through to the other side.
United's not losing 2 games. And after losing to Arsenal, they're not going to lose the Wolves, even if they are on the road. I'll be shocked. I think it's going to be about 3-0. That's going to be basically a drubbing. I don't think
the babyface assassin has bit between his teeth. He's got a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on him.
Result
tomorrow, and I think he gets it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
4 big games. Hopefully Spurs lose to Crystal Palace. That's my fandom talking. But I got a buddy who's going to be at that game. That's their opening up their new stadium. Hopefully the power works.
What are we catching this weekend?
We got this weekend. We have basically there's no real big matchups this weekend beyond Everton Arsenal. I think that's probably the big one. Chelsea West Ham is a good derby game, Matt, but that's pretty much it for the weekend. And I don't think those are overly
critical. Everton Chelsea.
Everton Chelsea is a little bit later here. That might be. Is that the Championship Sunday game for them?
Oh, no, you said Arsenal-Chelsea.
No.
Or Arsenal-Everton. What did you add?
Chelsea play Leicester on Championship Sunday. No, Everton-Man United is, that's coming up.
All right. Well,
yeah.
We'll catch the games this weekend.
Yeah. No, it's Everton-Arsenal. You were right. Yeah. Everton-Arsenal Sunday at
Everton
9.
Everton-Arsenal. We'll catch that.
We'll try to catch that. Definitely.
All right.
All right.
As always, it was great. Thanks to you, Stead.
Yes, thank you.
It's been awesome. Thanks to you, producer Paul. We've had fun. We head out on this note. Certainly the word of the evening. Thank you once again to all those who have asked not to listen. This has been the Two Guys Soccer Show. I'm Mikey Stead. Have a good evening. Good
night, everybody.
Nice show. Paul's awake.
Did you just wake up, Paul?
No. No, laying back, learning about soccer.
We had fun on that one.
You came on a little late. What happened?
I could not get in through the direct connect, so I had to hit the cell phone.
Okay.
But,
and that was the reason for the volume, because I pitched the volume up 2 or 3 times during the call. So
that I don't know what that was, but look, we made it work. It was fun.
Oh, I know. You guys were rolling there for a while. You and Stead were just so totally wrapped into what you were saying. You were so in the zone. The content was fabulous.
I think, again, I think that we topped out on what we are capable of doing. I like that 90 minutes because, like, you know, we had fun for the first 30 minutes just BSing.
Yeah, I know. You didn't have a format. Yeah, you were just rolling. Did you run out of gas after 80 minutes when you had 10 minutes left?
No, I just miscalculated the time.
Okay.
I looked at the clock, and I misread it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was somehow in my mind, I saw like 9:40, and it meant something different to me.
Oh, okay.
And so we didn't run out of gas. We were fine. We still had the content. We still had the energy. We were good. I like it. We're fine. We're fine with the 90 minutes. We got everything in. This is the first time that we got everything in that we wanted to talk about.
Good deal. Good deal.
All right.
What?
Paul. All right, so here's the real deal. I love what we're doing. To make it more marketable, we need more properties. Potential for another show on Thursday that we can market. If we get on Spreaker where it's 20,
mm-hmm.
I've got an NBA show, so we could do Stead and I for an hour and a half on Mondays. Would you be willing to host another show on Thursdays?
There's no problem with that on my end. It's the dual radio system.